This is SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Amy Bender.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on SB Nation Radio. We're rolling through this Wednesday. It's been a lot. We've talked about baseball and all the insanity with the fights and the Cubs can't win and all that sort of stuff. And then we shifted to the ice and talked a little bit about the NHL. But lest we forget, the NBA Finals also starting this week. A Thursday night, game one between the Cavs and the Warriors. Joining us now is Chris Manning. He is manning SB Nation's Fear the Sword, and there is a lot of information there on this series if you're interested in it. But in the meantime, let's just talk with him in person and find out his thoughts coming up on the big series. How you doing, Chris? Thank you.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. We're glad to have you because this series has a lot to bring to it, not just the fact that these are the two best teams in the NBA right now, but the fact that we're seeing them for the third time. That's crazy in itself, the way this league is supposed to work.
Yeah, it's unprecedented. It's crazy that, you know, think of the 80s, you think of some of the rivalries there, the Magic and the Bird teams, you think of the 90s. I mean, just think of how long the NBA's been around in general. It's nuts that it hasn't happened, but, I mean, these two teams have the biggest star power. The three best players in the world are playing in the series. There are a number of other all-star caliber players and elite role players. I mean, these two teams are just clearly, you know, the best two teams in the league, and I think, you know, all year, this is what I think we've all sort of been waiting for. There have been moments where both sides, particularly the Cavs, have looked vulnerable, but I think this always felt inevitable.
The Cavs do well when they play from behind. If you look at the first meeting between these two teams 2 years ago, the injuries certainly did not help. It put them in a hole they couldn't get out of. But then last year, they were also in a hole, down 1-3, and then they're able to come back. What is it about the Cleveland team that likes to do that, and philosophically, how is that their makeup?
You know, it's really weird because they love drama. They openly have talked about how they like drama, how they sort of thrive on people counting them out. I think this year, you know, we've seen some talk of them, you know, saying that they're perceived differently than the Warriors. That's been something. And I think LeBron sort of finds it funny when people count him out. It gives him this extra level of motivation. But I think Ty Lue's influence here is where you really feel them having this belief in themselves even when others count them out. He's a very calming presence on the team and on LeBron in a way David Blatt never was and probably could have never been. Lue can reach LeBron and therefore is going to be able to reach the rest of the locker room. And then you have guys like James Jones and Dante Jones that are there to kind of feed into that. And you have this structure of a team where the head coach keeps everybody calm. They know LeBron's going to bring in. LeBron's been great all postseason besides one weird game. And they have a veteran locker room and a locker room that is more connected than I think they've been, you know, ever since they won the title. I think it's just been a healthier environment. So I think there's just a self-belief within that team that might not have been there before that is certainly stronger than before. And I think they just know that no matter what, I think they believe they can overcome stuff. And maybe that hits a wall in the series, maybe Golden State's too much, but I think they're always going to believe in themselves at the end of the day.
Chris Manning, SB Nation's Fear the Sword, joining us as we preview the NBA Finals that starts tomorrow night at Golden State. You talked a lot about the coach and his role on this Cleveland team, helping these guys stay together and what their role is. Coaching on the other side has kind of been a tough go the last year and a half or so with Steve Kerr's ailing back. But the irony is now Mike Brown is in charge, and he's been in Cleveland before. That is the coaching tree of the NBA. It's very incestual there. But what about the coaching side on the Warriors? How is that going to affect them here in this final seven?
It'll be interesting. Kerr obviously is a great coach, and I think Mike Brown's always sort of been an underrated coach in some ways. But I think you will have the Warriors missing Kerr in some ways because Brown he's not Kerr. He's not going to hit things in a way. Draymond Green loves Mike Brown, but there's certainly, you know, some issues there. And I think what end up mattering is Lue just being that stable force, them having that one voice sort of, does that win out in some way? It's really hard to quantify that. But I do know that there are people on the Cavs side that aren't big fans of Mike Brown. Kyrie and him did not get along. I don't think LeBron's particularly his biggest fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably some of that. The Cavs are going to, maybe that's something too that motivates them in some way. But it's really hard to quantify, you know, what he's going to do. We haven't seen a Warriors challenge yet. We haven't seen the Golden State functionally really pushed in these playoffs all year. I think one of the things that I'm very curious to see if it happens is how do they handle a really close game? How do they handle where they get beat down a little bit? And how does Mike Brown help solve that? Kerr has that calming voice. Does Brown have the same ability? And how does he distribute Curry and Durant's minutes? you know, if the Cavs do something, how does he adapt in the series? And because one thing he didn't do well with the Cavs all the time was adapt to what the personnel required and what the moment required. And, you know, he might have to do that several times over the course of the series.
When you think about this Warriors team, though, and, you know, it really puts it into perspective that they have not lost a game since the 11th of March. It is June 1st tomorrow, and they have not lost a game since the first, the 11th of March. That says, that's crazy when you think about numbers like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You have a team that has four of the best 20 players in the world. In my mind, they have the second and third best players in the world in KD and in Steph Curry. They have Draymond Green. Their bench, I think, is really talented. They're able to maximize a guy like JaVale McGee to the extent that they needed a JaVale McGee, right? Like, they're just... I mean, it's a joke at this point, but they're light years ahead of a lot of teams. They've been light years ahead of teams in the West, and they play this modern style of basketball that flummoxes teams. And if you look at them versus the Cavs, they present problems for the Cavs in ways other teams can't. They can attack Kevin Love. You know, they could present some defensive problems for the Cavs now that LeBron's not going to be able to roam as much, assuming he guards KD. And they just are dominant over everybody. And when you, I mean, just when you have those two guys and you have that firepower, you can use Durant as a rim protector. Draymond Green's been an incredibly versatile defender. You know, it's maybe we should have seen some of this coming at the Dominican War, because they it's simple to say this, but they won 73 games last year, and then they added Kevin Durant, and they've gotten even better. And they're just incredible. I mean, every time I've watched them, I'm blown away.
Are you okay that Kevin Durant made that decision? And I say that because you write for Fear of the Sword, and everybody knows that's Cavalier country. As someone that doesn't cheer for the Warriors or doesn't necessarily rah-rah the Warriors, what are your thoughts on that Kevin Durant decision? It took him a while to fit in, but once he jumped on the carousel and got in motion, things seemed to really work out.
I mean, for me, it's a personal decision, right? Like, I mean, if that's something he wanted to do and the rules allowed him to do it, and he still is making money and he's doing what's comfortable for him, I'm okay with it. I think I don't really, like, buy into this idea that, like, you should just stay and not work. Like, if he wanted to change, I think he has the right to do it. I mean, I think it's the same thing, like, but when LeBron left Cleveland,
that was my next question for you, Chris.
Like, you know, like he had every right to do it.
Yeah.
He was frustrated. Like, and you look at LeBron, how he talks about that time in Miami. I don't think him and Pat Riley left on great terms, but he said that was his time in college. That was his time to, like, grow as a person. And I think we all sort of need those things to change. And if KD felt that things were stagnant in OKC, and he sees this team where things are fun, and it's a lighter culture, and, you know, he's living in the Bay Area in this nice area, like, you know, you can't knock him for doing that. You know, like, he certainly, it would be more interesting if he would have been an OKC, or if he went to a team in the East and we had not just these two teams, certainly, but we're getting a finals that could be really, really great. And it's interesting in its own right.
I really think it's interesting. I know that LeBron went back to Cleveland, but the overall picture of this is each of these teams have that X factor of the guy that ended up there because he wanted to win. LeBron did it, came back for his reasons, but his original move to Miami sort of matches it. That's one of the things I love about the NBA is now that we're at these final seven games and you look at the backstories and how some of these players ended up where they are, that's half the fun as we cover this series. Chris Manning, thank you so much for joining us. Loved having you. Loved the information. Is it going to go seven? What are your thoughts as we close out?
I've got Warriors in seven. I think you're going to see a series that is somewhat like the last 2 years. We'll have some blowouts on both sides. I think the Cavs can take them deeper than I think a lot of people are predicting them to, but I think ultimately Golden State's probably just a little too much.
Well, it will be an interesting to watch. Looking forward to it, because if you think of it as a best of three, this, in a way, will determine a lot about both of these teams over the last 5 or 6 years. Chris Manning, thank you again so much for joining us. SB Nation Radio, he's on Fear the Sword, and you can certainly check out all of his articles and what he provides looking at this series as it rolls in. Game one of the best of seven tomorrow night at Golden State, 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. As we take a break, we'll come back. I'll be joined by Joe George, our producer. He's in Houston. I'm in Los Angeles in the studios here. But together, we're going to take a look at this day in history in sports. There's some interesting notes there. You're not going to believe what happened on this day in the past. We're back on SB Nation.